Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
When I used to teach in the School of Medicine at the University of Virginia, one of the classes that I co-taught was called Death in America. And it was a class for medical students who were preparing to spend some time on our inpatient hospice and palliative care unit. Part of the reason that my friend Marcia and my mentor and boss Carlos and I taught this class is because there were so many of the medical students who had never seen a dead body or had any experience of death beyond the hospital, knowing that people died in institutions. Every once in a while, we would have a student from Southwest Virginia or from Appalachia, one of the more rural areas near the university. And in those communities where there were no hospitals and no hospice services, some of those students may have had the experience of a family member dying at home. And then the process of laying out the body for the viewing and for the time of mourning in the family's living room. So it was always wonderful to have students in the class who had a direct experience of death and had seen a dead body up close. It's so hard for us to remember a time in our culture in the United States when death was primarily a family event. I know that Scott and others of you who have worked in emergency rooms or in hospitals might experience death on a more regular basis, but most of us are fairly insulated from death. It often isn't until death comes into our immediate families, to a loved one or to a friend, that we have any exposure to death. For many children, the death of a pet is the only death that they've experienced. And even then, it can be a fairly protected event where they don't see the body. They don't come upon a carcass in a field because the wolves have gotten a sheep. When we hear these lessons today about the dry bones and about Lazarus, it's critical for us to remember that for the people of Israel and for Jesus's listeners, death was very immediate. It was not something that happened in ICUs or hospital rooms or nursing homes. It was something that they saw far too frequently, from babies and children to mothers in childbirth to their loved ones who would die in their 40s at a ripe old age. They also would have had a very direct experience of bones. When Hillary and I were in the Holy Land a couple of years ago, we got to visit one of the places where ossuaries are kept, the places that the bones of the deceased were moved and stored, because in such an arid climate, they didn't have a lot of graves. So there might be a cave that the poor people of the community were buried in. And when the body was mostly decomposed, they would gather the bones, put them in a smaller ossuary, and then keep that, you know, stacked floor to ceiling as a place where the bones were protected. So many people would have had the experience of bones. These lessons get to the heart of our humanity, to all of those times in our lives where we are grieved and sorrowful and dry and despairing and hopeless and begging for God's presence. And remembering the immediacy of suffering, the immediacy of death, is one of the greatest ways that we can enter into these stories that can feel distant, that can feel like weird visions or miracles that don't apply to us. I venture to say that all of us have had or are having an experience like the Valley of Dry Bones. When Ezekiel is prophesying to these bones, he is not prophesying to all of the people of Israel who were killed in the process of the Babylonian captivity. In this vision, he's prophesying to the survivors, to the Hebrew people who lived through the captivity, but were hopeless and wondering if they would ever be reunited in their homeland. The invitation that we have before us this morning comes directly from this weird vision in Ezekiel, where we are invited to go down to the grave, to wherever those bones are in your life. We are invited to prophesy to those bones, to interact with them, to engage them. And then finally, we're invited to ask the breath of God to breathe new life into them. Let me give you a more contemporary example of what that might look like. This afternoon at 3:40 at Heritage Theaters in Sandwich, Michael and Angela and I are taking our youth group to see The Shack. Any of you are more than welcome to join us. We'll be going out to dinner afterward to discuss the movie because it is quite a profound film. For those of you who have read the book or seen the trailer, I don't think I'm ruining anything, but Mac Phillips is a father whose young daughter, Missy, is kidnapped and brutally murdered in the woods of Oregon. Her murder seems to have happened in a shack. Needless to say, her death triggers years of profound grief and sadness in her father. After roughly 4 years, he feels a deep invitation and call to go back to that shack, to go back to the place of sorrow and grief, to go into the Valley of Dry Bones. I wonder how many of us have those places, those griefs, those broken relationships, those fears about our future, about our loved ones' health, about our finances, that we wall off in a shack in the woods. And we do everything in our power to forget that it's there. The invitation of Ezekiel's vision this morning is to go to the shack, to go down into the valley. Whatever that might look like for you. When Matt Phillips gets to the shack, he has the most extraordinary and painful encounter with the Trinity. I promise you the images that he experiences of the three persons of the Trinity are unlike what you were taught in Sunday school or in your church history classes. He directly experiences God as creator, Jesus as friend and companion and redeemer, and the Spirit as the source of all life and love and healing. In going to the grave, to the shack, in being willing to be present with the bones, Mac begins to find some healing and some restoration in his life. One of the things that I love about the Hebrew language is there's so many different resonances that can come in with the words because their translation is always multifaceted. The bones that Ezekiel speaks about, this word obviously repeats over and over and over again in this lesson, but also in the book of Job and in the Psalms and in Isaiah and elsewhere in the Old Testament. And the sense of bones is not only what's left after death, but the sense of bones that Ezekiel is drawing on, reminding the Hebrew people of, is that the bones are the foundation of the resiliency that leads to new life. it's the bones that stand up. They don't just fritter away into the dust. It's the very bones that receive sinew and flesh and breath. It is the grief. It is the loneliness. It is the anger and the fear. It is those very things that when you face them and accept them, will be the source of new life in your life. So can we go to the grave? Can we be comfortable being with the loss, the death, the bones, whatever they represent in your life? And then finally, the beautiful invitation that Ezekiel gives us, prophesy to those bones. Say to them, the breath of God will come into you. What a radical statement of hope. Even if you don't believe it, to say, the breath of God will come into you. And then we do whatever we need to do to cling to those shards of hope. The breath of God, the wind, the spirit, the ruach in Hebrew that broods over all of creation is the very wind that we have been experiencing relentlessly on Cape Cod in the last week. So if you are in a valley of dry bones and you're trying to make friends with those bones and to feel the new life, every time the wind crosses your face, brushes your skin, that is God reminding you that he will breathe new life into whatever it is that you're facing. So at the very end of Lent, as we begin to prepare ourselves for Holy Week, may God strengthen all of us to go into those valleys of dry bones, to go to the shack, to the graves in our lives, whatever they may be, to prophesy, to speak, to make friends with, to accept the bones and see in them the resiliency and the strength that will lead you into new life. And then with all of your heart and soul, call on the breath of God to breathe new life into those bones. And from there, Ezekiel promises us that they'll go forth dancing into the new life that God promises you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.